Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, at that time of the morning where we join our very own Adam Kamda from the Indian Ocean. Adam Kamda, alhamdulillah, astute businessman, fishing enthusiast and a humanitarian. And alhamdulillah, he does so much for his communities. Also, when it comes to, you know, teaching youngsters to do skin diving and all that, Adam takes out time and his many have graduated under him. And on radio, he's simply one of the best, broadcasters when it comes to fishing and all that is in the deep Indian Ocean. Adam Kamda, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
I'm Shafa, dear. Thanks for that lovely introduction. We're out here on the Durban beachfront, on the back line. We're floating just quite close to Moses Mabhida Stadium, if you use that as a landmark. We've got a northwesterly breeze of about 5 to 7 knots, so that's blowing us offshore. It's the perfect drift. We came here on Friday and had one of our absolutely best trips ever on our boat. So I'll tell you about those fish during the show.
Absolutely. You had also sent me some pictures of those fish caught there. It was absolutely fresh, absolutely big, and it was like tempting. Hey, make a diksha of a fish biryani now. Get it done now. And it seems as if, you know, when the cold weather comes into the Indian Ocean, that is when the big boys or the big fish comes through, and that's when the sardines are screaming. I don't know. What noise do the sardines make, Adam, when they're coming towards the Natal shorelines?
Yes, Shafar, the sardines look for that cold water channel which they follow up our coast. At the moment, as we are sitting on the water, the water temperature is 22.8 degrees, which is very warm for sardines. So they're not really going to swim right up to our boat this morning. But having said that, it's a really exciting season. There's thousands of fishermen following the sardines at the moment, and all of them are spotting and posting videos and photos on social media. The latest news we heard, Chapat, is that there was a pilot troll coming past Port Shepston yesterday. So they're not far off from Durban. But as I said, with the water temperature being 22.8 degrees, it's a tad bit warm for them. They love the cold water below 19 degrees, Chapat.
Now, as you said, they love the cold waters. And the people themselves, Adam, they don't fear the cold. You notice that when people walking, when it comes to sardine season, without shoes and, I mean, with a T-shirt and, with the Bermudas on, people are diving into the cold water, forgetting that it's ice cold. But when the fish is there, people lose self-control. What's your thoughts on that, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, it's such a frenzy and such an exciting time. You know, when the sardines are around and the word gets around, you find everyone driving down. They, even if it's work time, they abandon their work, they rush down to the beach. Sometimes they're not prepared for the sardines. You'd expect them to have a net and maybe some buckets, but they end up taking the shirts off and scooping up the sardines and then scudding them back up to the car, taking them back home, sharing with the neighbors, etc. It's really an exciting, frenzy time. And even though, Shafad, we get it every year, there are lots of people that have never experienced the sardine run. I know of a few people that said, you know what, year after year they look for them, but they've never really had that opportunity. So I think this is the year to change everything, Shafad. If you haven't experienced a sardine run, follow us on social media and follow and never miss a sardine. You can follow the movements day by day. And my friend Sean Langer has got an interactive map that he's generated. So as the sightings occur, he marks it on the map. So you can zoom in on the map and you can follow the track, day by day. And you've got the dates and the times of when they were spotted. And he shows it clearly on the map, on the charts as well.
Yes, sir, people. Adam coming to us live. Just as he says, he's drifting beyond the breakers there. And you can see Moses Mabhida. Very graphic indeed. When you describe it to me, I can, you know, I can see it because I've been out on cruise liners and so forth. But, for those that are, you know, inland, that are in the Gold Reef, they just had an earthquake somewhere there in Pretoria and all that, 5.0. But so far, no casualties. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Now, you know, if you, Adam, you know, you really, you bring the ocean alive. If you have to describe your drifting and you're looking into, you know, you're looking at Durban. You know, give us the whole scenario. You know, paint a picture for us. Come on, I'm
yes,
giving
Shafar,
you.
From where, from our standpoint, it's such a magnificent sight. Looking towards land, we can see the Durban Country Club. We can see Bike and Bean. We can see Moses Mabhida Stadium, Kings Park Stadium, and we can see all the cars scurrying along the freeway, going over the bridge, over the Amgeni River, and looking towards shore. There's quite a few anglers out on the beaches. The piers are full of anglers here as well. And as the swell makes its way towards land, it peaks up, and there's spin drift on the waves because of the offshore breeze. It's a northwesterly breeze. It's an offshore breeze. And if I turn around, I can see the buoys of the shark nets. I can see the ships out at sea and a glorious orb of burning fire rising up above the horizon, Shafat. The lovely crisp winter's morning here on the Durban beachfront. Looking towards the horizon, you can actually see the swells are running quite high. But where we are on the back line, we are fairly sheltered with the land breeze, and the sea is quite calm and a very relaxed atmosphere on the sea this morning, Shafat.
Hey, I tell you, your English teacher. Yes, sir, Mr. Kamisa. Yeah. Okay. He said, please tell Adam there 10 out of 10 for his composition. 10 out of 10, Adam. That's brilliant, isn't it? You did a beautiful job indeed. Now, talk to us about the seagulls. Where is the seagulls? Where's the albatross? Are they around? Are they making a noise and saying, yeah, sardines, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, there's lots of bird activity. As we left the harbour this morning, we saw quite a few birds diving. Well, not diving like how they dive for the sardine, Shafar, but they dive down close to the surface and they just dip into the water and try and grab some bait fish. So we stopped there for some live baits. We caught some razorbillies, and then a little bit further on, we caught mast bunkers. So our live well is full of live baits, mast bunkers, and razorbillies. As we stand, we are drifting with two live baits out, trying for kuta. Novi had one pull already, but the hooks just didn't connect. And Skulk is using a lure. He's had one pull, and the fish managed to devour his lure and even break off the wire, Shafat. So some really big fish moving around here today. And I must say, on Friday, the lures outfished the live baits. The live baits were basically only hooking small sharks, but it's the lures that really did the damage with some amazing edible fish, Shafat.
Yeah, that Molana is telling me, you know why? No, we didn't catch it. He didn't read his three cools. That's why I didn't get a proper pull.
No, Shafat, I made a good bismillah this morning, and inshallah, Allah will bless us with some nice fish to take home today.
That was on a lighter note, but alhamdulillah. You know, you brought in the shark factor, and I was about to talk about it. It seems we have a telepathy where you read my mind. I want to know, Adam, why there are no great white sharks kept in aquariums. Can you tell us?
The great white sharks, I think, also follow the cold water channels, Shafat. So you'd find them mostly in Cape Town, Cape waters, where the environment is much more suitable for them. There's a lot more food for them there, including seals and other marine creatures. But occasionally, during the sardine run, as the shoals move up, we do find great whites coming up. I think recently there was video footage of a great white at Aliwal Shoal, which is quite unusual. And so great whites do come up occasionally, but it's not the norm, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, as you said, not the norm. And then these, you know, Japanese visitors, the overseas visitors, we know the shark frenzy in KZN is a phenomena, world-renowned, and one of our biggest tourist attractions. How's it going on that front, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, as you know, our sardine run is a unique phenomenon throughout the world. So it attracts a lot of foreign visitors, Japanese especially, because they love marine life and they are quite expert in marine photography. So they come equipped with cameras, underwater cameras worth hundreds of thousands of rand, Shafat, and they look for this opportunity to capture this unique phenomenon of our sardine run.
Well, there's a message on the screen. It says, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Looking for some good fishing spots going down south coast. Any recommendations? Adam, this brother wants it easy. Maybe you can give him some recommendations. He's going down south. where he can go and fish, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, your best bet would be the Sand Spit in Port Shepstone. It's near the Amzinkulu River mouth. It's really a popular spot. This part, you can expect to catch some huge garrick down there, or to keep yourself busy between the garrick, there's lots of shad biting. And as we speak, Shafad, Novi is on with the big fish. His ratchet just went. There's something picked up his live bait. So he's busy fighting it, and we're just trying to gauge whether it's a game fish or whether it's a shark. By the looks of it, the way it's fighting, it's quite a gentle, steady pull. So I'd assume it's probably a grey shark, Shafad.
Well, we're going to see Adam. You see how his expertise coming there. Brother Atullah. Yeah, Atullah says, Assalamu alaikum. I really enjoyed this segment about you and Adam Kamda. He's also, as you said, Brother Shafad, one of the best. I want to know from Adam Kamda, after I catch a fish and suddenly the shark bites its tail off, can I still eat the fish? What's your take on that, Adam? I mean, I'm stunned. It's a very good question. You know, yes, he's got his luck, maybe Garrick, and then the shark took half. I mean, can you still eat that fish?
Yes, that's a very common problem, Shafad. Often when we are fighting a good edible fish, you'd find that half of it gets eaten by a big shark. I think technically, even Islamically, I think there is a ruling that says that any creature that's partially eaten by a wild animal is not suitable for our consumption. And I think the reason for that, Shafad, is in those days when a predator would partially eat its prey, and we come across the carcass, then, you know, there could be bacteria in it and not suitable for our eating. But if you are fighting a live fish and it gets chomped, we avoid it. We don't take it because of that ruling, as I mentioned. Although it in my opinion, it's still safe to consume. But if there is a ruling that says do not eat a creature that's partially eaten by a wild animal, then we stay away from it, Shafad.
Good point there, Adam, as we look at a message from Ibrahim. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Top show indeed, Bruce Chef. Please ask Adam, if I go with a kayak, what's the biggest fish I can land? And what are the dangers of kayak fishing, especially with so many
sharks? As we speak, Novi has brought his fish up to the surface, and it turns out to be a shark. Looks like a grey shark. It looks like about just under a meter. This fish found Novi's live bait quite tasty, so he decided to give it a chomp. And Skulk is busy de-hooking it right now, and we're going to release this fish to fight another day.
Now, once again,
it's gone. The fish is released, and Novi will put out another live bait and try for a kuta.
Yeah, once again, you showed what an expert you are. You, before he landed the fish, you just by the movement of the lines and so forth, you knew it's going to be a shark. And, you know, perhaps give us a graphic description how, the fish or the shark is released and what precautions you should be taking, because those shark tooth, hey, if they get into you, you're gone, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. What we try and do is we try not to bring the fish, the shark, onto the deck. Because once it's on the deck, it starts thrashing around, and the trace that we're using for kuta has a single hook and two treble hooks. So you can imagine this, in the shark's mouth and thrashing around, and it could quite easily impale you around your ankles or shin area, and that can be quite painful, Shafad, because once the barb penetrates and the shark is still attached and keeps wriggling, besides the danger of the shark biting you, these sharp hooks can inflict some serious damage. So as far as possible, we try and hold the shark outside the boat, use a de-hooker to remove the hooks from the shark's mouth. In this case, it was fairly easy. The hooks that were in its mouth, the shark managed to spit it out. There was just one treble hook left near its pectoral fin. So Skulk quite deftly de-hooked it, and off it swept Shafad.
Sadiq says, Assalamu alaikum. Adam, I want to know, how safe is it going fishing out at night? And do you get good catches at night, or are the fish fast asleep? Hey, good question there from Sadiq.
Yes, Shafad, that's a very interesting question, because as you know, most creatures during the day, they would forage for food, and then at night they would find a resting place and have a good snooze, Shafat. And fish are the same. They do snooze at night. But having said that, there are some specific species that we do target at night. And I suppose these big fish would be preying on snoozing little bait fish down at the bottom of the ocean. And the main target species for night fishing, Shafat, is the Kaleback salmon, which we do sometimes have a really good run of those of our KZN posts. Night fishing can be dangerous. It's good to have a good headlamp torch on so that you can see whatever is in front of you. If you want to de-hook a fish or you're going to tie a trace or put your bait on, you don't have to rely on the light that's on the boat. You know, you can have your own light source. And you do have to take very good precautions not to fall overboard, especially when the boat is gunning it towards the spot. Everyone needs to be sea aware. You need to be firmly seated and holding onto something secure. Because the sea can be quite rough and often it's quite dark, you cannot see what's ahead of you. So the crew must be aware, and the captain must also be finely tuned with the skill level of his crew, and basically, you know, make sure that the vessel and the crew are all safe throughout the trip.
Rashid says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. Jazakallah khaira for keeping us buoyant with the ocean. I want to know if I can still purchase my my fishing permit from the post office, because there's so many post offices that are closing down. Where's the second choice? Can we buy it at all these other supermarkets, like how we pay our telephone and light bills? How do you respond there, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, before we could buy our fishing license from the Isimvelo offices, but they no longer sell to the public. They've passed that function on exclusively to the post offices. And now that you know that the post office is in the process of being closed down, it's a really big question mark as to what happens to fishermen whose licenses have expired. Can they still continue fishing? Because they, even if they want to comply, there's nowhere to buy these fishing licenses. I think the authorities are busy putting their heads together and trying to find a solution. But at the moment, there's no solution. Those that have their licenses can continue fishing legally. And those that don't have to basically be patient and wait for the outcomes and find out where they can get licensed. Or they might even allow a short period, you know, where even if you don't have a license, you can continue fishing until they are able to provide you an easy format in which to purchase your license, Shafad.
This question here says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm Mehboob, and I love Adam's rapport with you, Brother Shafad. I want to know, do you find crocodiles on the seashores? Because I'm frightened to come and stand on the seashores when a crocodile will come from the water and bite me. I don't think we get crocodiles on the Indian Ocean, Adam, do we?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, Shafad, because you usually associate crocodiles with fresh water. You see them upriver. But having said that, I don't know if you remember during the floods, during the KZN floods, there was a crocodile farm that was washed away and a lot of crocodiles escaped and into the rivers and actually pushed all the way into the ocean, Shafad. And if you look at the area around St. Lucia, that estuary is full of crocodiles. And often during flood time, some crocodiles get washed out at sea. And I've seen some amazing video footage and pictures of crocodiles on the shore in the St. Lucia area, swimming in the waves and swimming in the salt water. So you do get crocs at sea, but it's extremely rare here where we are fishing in the Durban area. It was only, I think, that time when they had those floods. And I think most of those crocodiles had already been recovered and returned to the crocodile farm, Shafad.
Yeah, and you look at all these battles that the crocodiles have with the hippopotamus and so forth, with the buffaloes. I mean, these crocodiles are really, you know, something else. Once they get their prey, they take them right down. A hippopotamus versus a crocodile, who wins generally, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, they are both very adept in the water. Although the hippo looks so clumsy on land, but they're very agile in the water, and they even pose a threat to kayakers and boaters as well. So you must give the hippos their space. Although the crocodiles look like they have much stronger jaws and more ferocious teeth, but they are both very strong predators. And hippos sometimes look so cute and they look like pets. But if you encounter them on land, you know, if you're going through a trail, keep your distance and actually move away from them, because they are extremely territorial. And if you are following their trail that they normally use to move between areas in the bush to the shore, you can be in big trouble. And they are known for killing humans, Shepard. So keep well clear of hippos as well as crocodiles.
Now, Adam, you know, perhaps a warning to people that go to the ocean and they find it so tranquil, so, you know, smooth and all that. But below the water, below the surface of the ocean, I mean, inside the ocean, there are some predators waiting for you. What precautions should people take and not take the ocean for granted? Because you need to respect it, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, along our Durban beachfront, our shark spot has done a sterling job maintaining shark nets. And although there's a lot of controversy, there's two sides to the coin. Some say it doesn't help, some say it works. But I don't know if you remember in the 1980s, or between the 60s and the 80s, there were quite a few shark attacks on our Durban beachfront. And since then, it has pretty much come to a stop. So on the whole, you would say that the shark nets are effective. So when you're coming down to the Durban beachfront, as long as you're swimming between the beacons in charge, you know, where the lifeguards are in charge, you're fairly safe. But you still have to be aware of other dangers like currents. Especially during spring tides, you get strong rip currents, which could take you out to sea. And then you get things like jellyfish. Normally, when there's an onshore wind, like the northeasterly wind, that brings jellyfish and blue bottles, which carry stings. And although, for the most part, not life-threatening, but it can be very sore and it can really put a damper on your holiday. So be aware of these creatures and respect the ocean. But what I'd say is educate yourself, Shafaj. You know, it's usually through ignorance that people end up having accidents at sea. So the more you learn about it, the more you understand about the ocean, the more you can live in harmony. And as I speak, Shafaj, you know, the ocean is coming alive. I can see live baits are jumping all around the boat at the moment. There could be red-eye sardine. There could be razor bellies. So it's a good sign. This is what we look for when we fish an area like this, where we're trying for game fish like queenfish and kuta. When the game fish start chasing the live baits, then you know that they are feeding, and it's a good chance that we could hook onto something good.
I tell you, Adam, you got the ocean moving into every home that's listening to you this morning. And, you know, you have brought in the tranquil atmosphere, you brought in the motion, you brought in the seagulls, you brought in those, you know, the sharks coming on board. And Allahu Akbar, brilliant indeed. But this type of weather, Adam, you know, when I'm with you on the boat, I feel for some puri pattas, for some samosas, for some pies, and, you know, some spring rolls with a lot of chutney, and, you know, and a big, big, big flask of coffee. It might be nice and sweet, maybe a lot of honey in it and so forth. Tell me what's going through your mind. You know, you're feeling that cold, but do you warm up with the action around you or with the chow around you, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, from the early part of the morning, no one thinks of food because we're all so wired and, you know, so eager to get onto the fish. And especially as the sun is coming up, that's probably the best time to have your lines in the water. So food is furthest from our mind. But as you said, you can feel that chill in the air, which chills you to the bone. I've got a lovely big flask of piping hot coffee, which once we realize, you know what, we're feeling a bit chilly, we're starting to shiver, then we'll pour ourselves a cup and warm ourselves up. And Skalk has brought some nice muffins for us, and he's got a cooler box full of cool drinks as well. So we're well catered for on the boat, Shafat. It's not going to be a long, the full day today. We'll probably fish till around midday. So no need for over catering, and we love to just, you know, we try not to carry too much to the boat, carry just enough, you know, for us, and try and eat everything and drink everything that we bring, and you know, so we're not carting things up and down unnecessarily. So we're well catered for, and looking forward to a lovely day at sea today.
I tell you, Adam, yes, but are you the type of person will, you know, maybe take a packet of Mari biscuits or eat some or a boudoir biscuit or, you know, chocolates or something? Do you do that, or maybe, you know, lemon creams? Do you take that on board?
Yes, Shafat, as you get different crew, they all bring different things. Some of them would bring biscuits, some would bring chocolates, etc. We've avoided chocolates for the most part lately. We're trying to eat a bit healthier. So we'll have a nice fresh muffin in the morning with a cup of coffee, and that seems to keep us well nourished and belly full, and warms the blood up with the hot coffee, and it keeps us going for the day, Shafat.
Adam, what a information. Beautiful indeed. Live and direct to the whole dunya. Allah bless you for that. Perhaps your parting words this morning, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, that's quite apt to end the show on this note. The Novi is on again. His ratchet is going. what was it, Novi? Spinner shark. It just leapt into the air. It is hooked onto a spinner shark. As I said, even on our last trip, our live baits, we're catching mostly the sharks. I think we'll have to turn to the lures to try and get the game fish again today. Before I leave, Shafat, just remind the listeners to log on to thesardine.co.za and click onto that interactive map, and you can see exactly where the sardines are. Thanks for a lovely show. Enjoy the rest of your day. Salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.